Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hi, friends. It's so good to be with you again. I hope you had a great weekend. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life, bringing you Praying for America, together with our friends at Right Side Broadcasting Network, together with Christians and patriots from around the country, across the globe. America is a Christian nation. America was founded as a Christian nation. Its history, its traditions are deeply rooted in Christianity. That's what I want to reflect on tonight, because praying for America and getting America back to what she needs to be very much is rooted in that truth. Recognizing in what sense this is a Christian nation, recognizing the difference between that and some of the caricatures of that that the left wants to try to paint to scare people. We're going to delve into that a little bit here tonight, both with biblical education, patriotic education, as we call it, and a prayer. So welcome. As we usually do, I want to invite you to leave your own prayer intentions in the comments. That's very important that we encourage everyone on here to pray for each other's needs. Let us know how we can pray for you. And that will make this session complete as we pray for America, her leaders, her citizens, her 45th president, Donald Trump. We always pray for him and for the specific intentions that we will map out during our discussion. Let's put ourselves in the presence of God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, hear us, hear our needs, and bring them to the throne with groanings that go beyond words, even beyond thoughts. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but we know you are there, assisting us, praying in us as the body of Christ. You are the Spirit of Christ. Pray in us. Bring us before the throne. Bring our needs to the heart of God. For we know, O Holy Spirit, that they are already there. But we want to join our conscious, deliberate worship together with your action. As God, our needs are already in the heart of the Father. Make us know that. Make us more convinced of that than ever before. And let that conviction bring us peace as we enter into prayer. Let it bring us forgiveness of our enemies as we enter into prayer. Let it bring us freedom from anxiety. As your Apostle Paul said, dismiss all anxiety from your minds. Free us from the distractions of the day, the distractions of the hour, and bring us before the throne. There before the throne, the angels sing, now and for all eternity. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with his glory. We fall down before the throne, acknowledging the holiness of the Lord. And we say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and blessing and riches and power and wisdom and strength. The Lamb has been slain for us. Through the eternal Spirit, the offering was made on the cross once for all. The Lamb has been slain for us. Our homes, our lives, our bodies, our souls have been marked with his blood. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb, and that makes our robes not red, but white. Pure of sin, wash yourselves clean. Isaiah said, Put away your misdeeds from before my eyes. Cease doing evil. Learn to do good. Do justice. We wash ourselves in the blood. We sing the praises of the Lamb. And we repent of our sins, O God, as we come before you tonight in intercession, deep in trust of you and ready to receive the blessings you want to pour out, not just on us, but on America. We pray for a nation that you have already blessed so abundantly. You bless this nation by inspiring our founders to start it, by giving them the courage to break away from tyranny, by giving them the political wisdom to craft a declaration and a constitution that would endure all the vicissitudes of time and the changes of history. We praise you and we pray to you and we rejoice in you tonight. And we do all this in the mighty name of the one and only Savior, the author of life and the conqueror of death, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, friends, once again. Leave your prayer intentions. Let us know how we can pray for you. And let's all of us pray for one another, not only during this program, but all throughout the week. For our scripture, I want to turn to Matthew 28, the conclusion of Matthew's gospel, the commissioning of the disciples. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had summoned them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." So thus concludes Matthew's gospel with what we know as the Great Commission. "Here's what I want you to do," Jesus says to them. "Here's what I'm commanding you to do. As I, now having accomplished the great act of salvation and freed you from the power of sin and death and opened the floodgates of mercy, the waters of baptism on all the earth for anyone willing to accept it, now I entrust to you the mission of announcing everything that has happened to the world and bringing them in." This is the Lord telling them, "Bring in the harvest. Because the work has been done. The gates of heaven have been opened, if you will. But now people have to accept it, determine that they want to get there, know the way, the only way to get there, Jesus Christ." By the way, I saw some kind of a survey recently about the large percentage of Christians that do not believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation. What is that about? I mean, there were few things that he was clearer about than that. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." No one. And there is, as the Acts of the Apostles tells us, no other name given under heaven by which we are to be saved than Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that people who are not with us are all going to be condemned. What it means is that if they are going to be saved, it is going to be through Jesus Christ, period. And no matter how much about him they know or not. So he tells them, that's why this commission is so urgent. He tells them, take the good news that you have now. Take your knowledge and understanding of the events that have unfolded and proclaim it to all those for whom it was done, right? So proclaim it to all the world. And he says here, uses the phrase, all the nations. Make disciples of all the nations and teach them to carry out everything I have commanded you. So it's not a matter of just professing faith. and then being baptized, it's a matter then of carrying out the demands of faith and baptism, because it's a way of life. Teach them to carry out everything I have commanded you. So this is a process, not only of learning, but of setting up a way of life that pertains not just to the individual, but to the nation. And it's on that basis that I want to reflect on America as a Christian nation, because our founders knew the Great Commission. And let me go to our friend David Barton's book, Original Intent. We've talked about it before. Many of you have it, I'm sure. If not, I'd like to recommend as the action item for this program, get this book. In fact, go ahead and call us and we'll make the arrangements for you. 321-500-1000 is our number here. Original Intent, 321-500-1000. And tell our receptionist you saw me on RSBN or on our own Priest for Life broadcast here, and you want David Barton's book, Original Intent, and then we'll let you know how much it is. We can get it for you at a very reasonable price. The United States is a Christian nation, and David goes into that in this book, referencing a decision of the Supreme Court from back in 1892 called Church of the Holy Trinity versus United States. Now, at issue in that Supreme Court case was an immigration law. The church had hired a pastor from England, but this law said it would be unlawful to assist in any way or encourage the importation of any foreigners under contract or agreement to perform any kind of work. So did the church violate that law? It ended up that the court said no, they did not, because the intent of the law was more narrow than that. They were trying to avoid slave-like foreign labor to aid in the construction of the Western Railroad. So, but the point of the case specifically is not what I want to focus on so much as what the court continued to do in that decision. And I'm actually going to read for you some extended quotes, and I want you to make this sort of like a meditation. You see, what we're doing here is we're not just reading and learning things. We're using this to lead us into prayer, to relish the foundations. If we're going to pray for America, if we're going to lead America, because I know you do more than pray, all of us are working for the greatness of America. And by the way, I got another message into the office. You know, some of my staff are handling all the time the emails that come in. And somebody was saying, it was a member of the clergy who was saying, well, you know, be careful, you know, about, you know, don't align yourself too much with the MAGA movement because, you know, President Trump had some flaws in his personality. Yeah, so do I. And so does everybody else. MAGA is the way to go, my friends. Make America Great Again is a whole way of thinking about America and a way of acting in defense of the principles that, in fact, are rooted in the gospel. Yes, we are aligned and proudly so with MAGA. And it would be nice to have a president that has some flaws that maybe make him rough around the edges, because he fights for us and stands up. Do we have to remind ourselves of the absolute disaster going on in Afghanistan? Listen, give me today each and every one of the, you know, and a lot of these flaws are more in people's imagination or are exaggerated, or they look at the flaws and they don't see the virtues. But give me all the flaws you want of our 45th president. We need him at the helm right now and not the disaster that's going on. But in any case, back to this case here, the court spent some time explaining why it would be completely repugnant to the spirit of the Constitution to hinder the spread of Christianity. So, of course, we just heard the Great Commission. Jesus said, spread it, spread the gospel. And now we have the Supreme Court saying, we can't have the laws of America hindering the spread of the gospel. Let me read the specific line then that the court said, no purpose of action against religion can be imputed to any legislation, state or national, because this is a religious people. This is a Christian nation. Again, the U.S. Supreme Court, looking at the history of America, looking at its founding, saying, this is a religious people. This is a Christian nation. Church of the Holy Trinity versus United States, 1892. Let me read at length now some of the decision. From the discovery of this continent to the present hour, there is a single voice making this affirmation. The commission to Christopher Columbus recited that, quote, it is hoped that by God's assistance, some of the continents and islands in the ocean will be discovered, end quote, etc. The first colonial grant that made to Sir Walter Raleigh in 1584, and the grant authorizing him to enact statutes for the government of the proposed colony, provided that, quote, they be not against the true Christian faith, end quote. The first charter of Virginia, granted by King James I in 1606, commenced the grant in these words, in propagating the Christian religion to such people as yet live in darkness. Language of similar import may be found in the various charters granted to the other colonies. In language more or less emphatic is the establishment of the Christian religion declared to be one of the purposes of the grant. The celebrated compact made by the pilgrims in the Mayflower, 1620, recites, quote, having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts, end quote. The Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, under which a provisional government was instituted in 1638-39, commence with this declaration. And well knowing where a people are gathered together, the word of God requires that to maintain the peace and union, there should be an orderly and decent government established according to God to maintain and preserve the liberty and purity of the gospel of Jesus, our Lord Jesus, which we now profess, of the said gospel, which is now practiced amongst us, end quote. In the Charter of Privileges granted by William Penn to the province of Pennsylvania in 1701, it is recited, quote, no people can be truly happy, though under the greatest enjoyment of civil liberties, if abridged of their religious profession and worship, end quote. Continuing to quote now from this Supreme Court decision, coming nearer to the present time, the Declaration of Independence recognizes the presence of the divine in human affairs with these words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And then also quoting from the Declaration, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. And then again, and for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. This court decision goes on. And again, we're talking about Church of the Holy Trinity versus United States, the 1892 Supreme Court decision that said we are a religious people, we are a Christian nation. Let me read another paragraph here. We find that in the Updegraff versus the Commonwealth, it was decided that Christianity, quote, Christianity, general Christianity, is and always has been a part of the common law. Not Christianity with an established church, but Christianity with liberty of conscience to all men, end quote. And in The People versus Ruggles, Chancellor Kent, the great commentator on American law, speaking as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of New York, said, quote, "The people of this state, in common with the people of this country, profess the general doctrines of Christianity as the rule of their faith and practice. We are a Christian people, and the morality of our country is deeply engrafted upon Christianity and not upon the doctrines or worships of those imposters, other religions," end quote. And in the famous case of Vidal versus Girard's executors, this court observed, quote, "It is also said and truly that the Christian religion is a part of common law," end quote. And then after several more pages, here's what the court concluded. There is no dissonance in these declarations. There is a universal language pervading them all, having one meaning. They affirm and reaffirm that this is a religious nation. These are not individual sayings, declarations of private persons. They are organic, legal, governmental utterances. They speak the voice of the entire people. These and many other matters which might be noticed add a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic utterances that this is a Christian nation. So I know that many of you have heard of this decision. Perhaps not as many have read the whole thing. I wanted to quote from it substantially, as I just did, to root our prayer tonight in the fact that recovery of our Christian, what we might say, conscience or consciousness is essential as a prayer intention for America. Recovering our sense that we are a Christian nation. Now, let me make a distinction. And you heard one of the quotes from the court decision make this distinction. We're not talking about the establishment of a religion. Our Jewish brothers and sisters, I mean, we affirm and welcome them as citizens with, you know, absolute commitment and determination that they can be free and full Americans. Of course, our Muslim brothers and sisters, our atheist citizens. I mean, everybody is welcome in America if they want to hold to the principles of America and the freedom and respect this nation for what she is. You do that, you have a respect for the laws and customs and history of our nation, you're welcome here. So we're not imposing a religious test for citizenship. This is very important that people understand that that is not what the founders or this Supreme Court decision or we are saying. You're not imposing a religious test for citizenship. You're not saying according to the laws, you have to believe in Christ or go to church on Sunday or receive communion or anything like that. Okay. Because our country is based on freedom, and the church, I'm myself speaking, of course, as a Catholic priest, I can tell you that the teaching of the Catholic Church in regard to religious freedom is that while we hold that not every religion is equal, we would all agree, you know, the principles of Christianity, I mean, this is the true way that God has saved the world in Jesus Christ. He truly is God made man and so forth. So it's not to put all religions on an equal footing in regard to the truth of their doctrines, but it is to say that among those truths is human dignity. And part of human dignity is that we seek, find, embrace, and then live our religious convictions. We seek and find and hold on to religious truth freely. We don't want people being baptized under coercion. We want people accepting the love of God in Christ and the shed blood for the forgiveness of their sins with complete freedom. And then with complete freedom to live out the demands of that faith. This is what makes us different from a theocracy. The left, which hates America and hates us, wants to misrepresent us. They always do that. They want to exaggerate and distort and lie about what our real positions are so that they can scare off the rest of our fellow citizens from joining our efforts. That's what they do all the time. And so they'll try to say to our fellow citizens, oh, these people want a theocracy. They want you to have laws that say, you know, you're going to be taxed if you don't read the Bible. You're going to be fined or even imprisoned if you don't go to church and so forth. That is not at all what we're advocating. And furthermore, we're not advocating that the church take on the role of the state in as much, for example, as let's just take the passing of legislation, for example. We do not believe that the laws of the United States of America or of any particular one of the states are created by bringing the pastors together and having a vote in the churches. That's not how legislation gets passed in America. Now, in a theocracy, theocracy means, theos means God, and theocracy means a government by God. Of course, we know that God is the Lord of all the nations, but in a theocracy, you would actually have the church making the laws. This is not what we're advocating. We want the Congress to make the laws for the country. We want the state legislators to make the laws for the state. That's how it's set up in the Constitution. That's what we advocate. The role of the church is to inform the consciences of those legislators so that the laws they pass don't force a particular denominational religion on people, but rather enforce the laws of God and of nature and the human rights that our Declaration itself recognizes have been given to us by God and have to be secured by government. You need religion and morality to wake people up about what those rights are, to remind them that they are from God, and to make sure that the legislators are rooted in the legislators, well, of course, and the people who elect them, right, are rooted in that religion and morality so as to make the right decisions. Put another way, you can't expect a people to govern themselves and to lead their families, their nation in the right direction if they don't know the difference between right and wrong, between sin and virtue, between what is good for the human person and the human community and what is destructive. So those are my reflections tonight, my friends. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that America is so deeply rooted in the gospel. Our founders did not create a theocracy. Lord, we do not want to impose religion by law, but we know that law itself cannot serve the good of the people unless it is rooted in morality. Lord, we turn to your word to understand the difference between right and wrong. We turn to your law as the foundation, the inspiration for the laws we as human beings try to create. Lord, we pray for America that each and every citizen, that each and every leader, that each and every person who claims the blessings of this nation will feel, will appreciate our Christian heritage. That even those, Lord, who do not share the Christian faith will nevertheless see and respect, acknowledge and affirm that this is who we are as a people. And it does not mean that they themselves need to change their religious affiliation, but it means that they are living in a nation where people have freely charted their course in alignment with the laws of God. Lord, that these laws have to be defended, that our history has to be respected and not rewritten, that the respect for the right to life and liberty, especially religious liberty, first and foremost, the pursuit of happiness, the ability of families to grow, the ability of parents to choose the schools for their children, the ability of people to create businesses and let them flourish without oppressive government regulations, the ability of a people to protect themselves through strong borders and a strong military. Lord, all these things fall together in the vision that our founders have initiated for us. Thank you, Lord, that America is in fact a Christian nation, that we are in fact a religious people. Bless the churches, bless the pastors, that they might understand this and reinforce it by their teaching and their preaching. Bless us all. We pray once again in the mighty name of Jesus the Lord, and we use now the words that he gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. So, friends, get this book, read it. That's my recommended action, Original Intent by David Barton. If you want to call us, we'll get a copy for you, 321-500-1000. Let us know who you are, where we can send the book, and so forth. We'll let you know how much it is. Well, wonderful to talk with you. Wonderful to pray with you. Stay connected. RSB Network is the handle for Right Side Broadcasting on social media, RSB Network. And for me, as you see on the screen, FR for Father, FR Frank Pavone. Connect with us both on social media. Let's stay connected. Let's promote this program. Let's energize the prayer community. We're going to be talking a lot about the midterm elections. Praying for America means praying for victory in these midterm elections. And the midterm elections are not 2022. They're now. It starts now. It's almost September. We're in the home stretch of 2021. We got to get these elections right. And so we're going to be talking a lot about that in the coming weeks. God bless you. Spread the word. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Great chatting with you. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.